Here we are now in a new year. So we begin the new year together. There are going to be changes in 2020. We know that. There's going to be changes in our world. There's going to be changes in our church, changes in our homes, changes in our schools, changes in our workplaces. You and I will never be the same as we are right now, because as the world changes and life changes, we change. You can't help it. And when people say, "I don't like change," they may not like it, but ultimately they participate in it because it's life. It's going on all around us as we change. And there are going to be changes this year. We are not the same as we were on January 1st, 2019. We've all changed. A lot has happened in this past year, and a lot will happen in this new year. But we have one hope as we move forward. As human beings, as a church especially, we have one hope, and that hope is the Lord's grace. The Lord God Almighty and His grace. When we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, or St. Paul as many people call him, we see a man that struggled in his Christian journey. We see a man who was at one point persecuting the Christians, was going after them to deliver them in chains and persecute them, but he was transformed because of his relationship with Jesus and his encounter with Jesus. He was transformed. And as he was transformed and became a Christian, he was called by Christ to go to the Gentiles with the message of the gospel that Jesus is the Messiah, and to preach repentance for sins and freedom and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. He was the greatest missionary that ever lived, but Paul was a human being, and he struggled in his journey. The same is true of David. When we read the Psalms, as we've been doing in Bible study, we find out that David was a troubled man. He struggled and he wrestled with issues of life and even wrestled with God. And being called as a shepherd boy to sit on the throne of Israel and be the greatest king that ever lived. David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. And he struggled and writes about his struggles, and it helps us through our struggles. But one thing common to both of these people and many others in the Bible is that their lives were lives driven by the grace of God. They knew God as being a gracious, merciful, compassionate, loving God. And that drove them forward, kept motivating and drawing them forward in their Christian walk, so to speak, as God's people. Now, when we compare ourselves to these two people, we find that we are no different than them. Oh, somebody says, "St. Paul, he was a holy man," and we envision this guy walking around in a clean robe with a staff and nice hair, but I want to assure you that was not Paul. Paul was a human being like you and I are, and he struggled. Satan worked hard on him because Satan didn't want the word of God to be spread on the whole world. The same is true as David. David was a human being. He fell to temptation. He was called by God. He had a closer relationship with God, and he fell into sin and struggled with it. But because of the grace of God, both of these men knew that they could turn back to God, and God would love them because he's a God of grace. And when we compare ourselves to them, we are no different than them, and we can learn a lot from them. In the text today, Paul sheds some light on his struggles and on his personal feelings concerning himself and his character and his Christian journey. You see, as he writes to the Romans about his struggle. Now, in 2 Corinthians that we were going to read today, Paul talks about having a thorn in the flesh, that Satan had put a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan, and he had prayed 3 times for God to remove it, and God didn't. God instead said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." You get a thorn in you, it pricks in you, and it hurts. And if you don't take it out, it festers. And sometimes it gets worse, and it can get infected. And it can actually, the infection, move into your bloodstream and affect your whole health if you don't do something about it. And that was the case with what was going on in Paul's life with this messenger of Satan, this thorn that Paul called it. We don't know what that was for sure. We can speculate. But at any rate, he prayed to God to take it away, and God said, "No, my grace is sufficient to get you through this." You've probably never heard of the term the grace of suffering. The grace of suffering is a theological study or theme about why God allows us to suffer. Do you know that in order for an evergreen tree to produce cones, many times it has to go through stress? Some commercial Christmas tree growers will take some of their larger old Christmas trees and they'll thrash the bark of that tree with chains to scar the bark and to stress that tree. And what happens as a result, the tree produces cones and seeds. And then they gather those seeds and then they sell them and raise more trees. In the same way, God allows us to go through stress so that we produce something. And hopefully that something we produce is glory to God. And you say, well, gosh, if God wants me to glorify him, why doesn't he give me $1 million? Because I'm going to tell you something. If somebody gave me a bag of M&Ms every day, after a while, I'd hate M&Ms. If I had Trix cereal every morning for breakfast, after a while, I'd hate Trix cereal. You see? But if I go for a while and I don't have either one, all of a sudden I find myself wanting to be closer to those two things because of the way they make me feel and the joy they bring me when I eat them. It's the same way with God. And we think that's really weird why God would allow that. But that's what God does when we see all through the Bible. He allows suffering. He chooses suffering to draw us closer to him and to bless us. And that's God's grace. And I said, I don't want God's grace if it's that way. But that's the way it works. And I can tell you that it's like, no, I can't tell you it's like bearing a child. But it's what I've been told, it's like bearing a child, that after the pain is over and the child is in your arms, that pain seems to dissipate. Am I right, ladies? I've been told that. You know, the beauty that you have, the gift that you have, far outweighs the suffering. But Paul, David, we suffer in this journey of life, this journey of grace. And we do so all to God's glory. When we look at the scripture for today, this scripture from Romans, we start to see Paul struggled with sin. He said, I don't understand. I don't understand what I do. Here's Paul. Here's a scholar. Paul's a scholar. He's a smart man. He's read a lot of books. He's studied things. He's written things. And he says, I don't understand what I do. He doesn't even understand himself. How many of you fully understand yourselves? You do dumb things and you think, why did I do that? Why did I do that? My wife says to me all the time, why did you do that? And I say, I don't know. I don't understand why I did it. You know? So at any rate, he doesn't understand. He said, what I want to do, I don't do. It's almost like he has plans to do it, but he never gets that to it. He never does it. And what he hates is the thing that he does. What he hates is the thing that he does. Imagine the pain that that caused Paul inside. I want to tell you folks something. If you reach a point in your life about something where you're feeling guilty or feeling shame about something that you've done or something that you said, that's a good thing. And I'll tell you why, because that's proof that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, convicting you, trying to bring you back around to the God of grace that's going to forgive you and remove that guilt and shame. Do you know who's putting that guilt and shame or tearing you down with that guilt and shame? Is Satan. Because you go to God and you confess it. God forgives you. He's faithful and just to forgive and cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. But the devil keeps bringing it up, doesn't he? Keeps bringing it up. The things that we did, things that we hate that we do, he keeps bringing them up. It's almost like the devil says, yeah, that's who you really are. But the Bible says, no, that's not who I really am. That's the fleshly desires in me that make me do the things that I hate. Paul says, if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. In other words, he's saying the law is a good thing. The law points to what's bad, what I'm doing wrong. The law tells me that it's wrong. If we didn't have the law, we wouldn't know any different, and it would be a free-for-all. Or you'd say, well, no, it's not wrong, and I'd say, yes, it is, and you'd say, no, it's right. But we have the law. The law gives us clarity about what is really wrong in the eyes of God. So he says, as it is, it's no longer I myself who do it. It's the sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. You see, when we come to Christ as Christians, the old is gone, the new has come, the old self dies, the new is born again, and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside us. But the problem is we live in this fleshly this fleshly shell. The flesh is the sinful desire, the sinful nature that we're born in the flesh. Something has to be done away with that. That's why we die, because eventually that's done away with. And we're renewed with a new body, you see, that no longer has that sinful nature. He says, it's not me that commits the sin. It's the sinful nature that still wars with my soul and with my mind. I have the desire to do what's good, but I can't carry it out. What I do is not the good I want to do. The evil that I do, the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. It's no longer I who do it. It's the sin living in me that does it. You see, understanding what Paul's saying here, you say Paul's splitting hairs, and yes, he is, and sometimes in Christianity, we have to split the hairs because you know what the devil does? He uses those hairs to tear us down. We are not perfect. Christianity is not perfection. Perfection is in heaven with the Lord. And we will be made perfect in Christ with our new resurrection bodies. But as long as we live in this flesh, we're still going to sin. But the grace of God knows that, and He's chosen us, and He says, I love you, I still love you. Do you know what really makes Satan the maddest? Is that the right, is that a good word? The maddest? What really burns Satan up the most, if he can be burned up, is when Satan says, hey God, look at your guy here. Look at your woman. Look at her. Look at him. Oh, they're your children. Look at them. Look at the sin they're committing. Look how terrible they are. God says, I know. I still love them. I still love them. You do? Absolutely, because they're my children. He says, but they're not perfect. And God says, I know that. I'm still working on them. I'm still working on them. But I still love them. That's grace. And that really makes the devil mad, you see. But, and Paul says, it's the sin that lives in me. The sin keeps living in me in this fleshly body. So he says, I find this law at work. Paul says, I find this is the way it works. When I want to do good, evil's right there with me. You ever find that out? You want to do something good? You try and do something good, and by darn, something bad comes of it. Because evil's right there, trying to make it bad. When I want to do good, evil's right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see it work another way. In other words, I delight in God's law, but it always works another way in the members of my body. Because there's this war going on between my mind and my flesh, and it makes me a prisoner in my members. Paul says, what a wretched man I am. What a wretched man I am. Now, our sin is like garbage in our lives. We have the sin in our lives, you know, and here we are now, we're going into 2020. And it's so easy. Satan's already telling us, yeah, remember what you did last year. And all of a sudden we find ourselves carrying this garbage into the new year. I want to tell you something, folks, we don't have to. We can free ourselves from that guilt and that shame by turning to the Lord and knowing God's a God of grace. Every single day in our lives, you know, things are going to happen and there's going to be more garbage put in it, you know, try and fill us up to the point where we can't carry it anymore. We say, I can't do this anymore. And all of a sudden we realize, that's right, I can. I need someone to take out the trash, to get rid of the garbage, because wretched person that I am. The Apostle Paul, St. Paul said, wretched man that I am. Huh. We begin a new year together, and we can't let the devil force us to carry that garbage into the new year, folks. You see the little sign, the little thing I put in the bulletin this morning? How many of you know what a bitmoji is? A bitmoji is a character that you make up on your phone, and when you send stuff, messages to people, you can send picture messages. Well, this is my own bitmoji. This is one that is supposed to be me. I don't know if it looks like me or not. Let's see what I'm doing. I'm dropping 2019 as trash on the curb.
A lot of you know that the end of 2019 wasn't real good for our family. We had a lot of struggles and a lot of issues, but I knew God would help us through and eventually get through, and there'd be light at the end of the tunnel. But you know, that should be us with our sin. We can take it out, we can give it over to God, and we can drop it at the curb and say, nope, I'm not letting that drag me down this year. I'm moving forward this year. And no matter what happens during the year, and there's a lot going to happen that we don't have a clue is going to happen, but it's going to happen because it's called life. Our only hope is in the grace of God, because only by the grace of God are we going to get through it. And only by the grace of God, which in the Greek is the power of God, but it's also the unmerited, not reward. It's not, grace is not a reward. Grace is a gift, the unmerited gift. We're saved by grace. God gives us salvation, saved. And he saves us, he sustains us, gives us strength to endure, and he prospers us in the way God sees prosperity, not us. Paul says, who's going to rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see what God does? He says, all right, I know you got thorns. I know that things are festering in your life. I know there are going to be issues in your life. But what does God say? My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. I'm going to be there. I'm going to save you. I'm going to sustain you. You're going to endure and you're going to prosper. But you just have to relax a little bit. You know, everybody just needs to chill a little bit. People call me up. They say, oh, this is happening. That's happening. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I say, just relax. We're going to relax. We're going to pray about it. And sometimes it's amazing the way God works things out in our lives if we just simply relax and let him do it and take our garbage to him and say, God, this is garbage. It stinks. It's rotten. God says, I know. I know. I'll take it out for you because I love you. Because you're my child. I read a devotion the other day about God and light. God is light, you see. The Bible tells us that in 1 John, God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. When God looks in your heart and in your soul, he's not looking to dig up dirt. He's not looking for darkness. He looks for even the tiniest bit of light in you, because that's where God can shine in your soul and bring you out and cleanse you and renew a right spirit and create a clean heart, as David prayed, in you. And God, that's what God focuses on. If there's one little bit of light in you. But Satan, he focuses on the darkness. He says, aha! Aha! How can you go to church when you act like that? That's why I go to church. Because I act like that, you say, you see? And it's sad when somebody says, I don't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites. Yeah, no kidding. And the biggest one stands in the pulpit every Sunday morning. But we know that. Because we know God knows that, and we come together to as Paul said to the Ephesians, to come together to rise up, to become a temple of the Lord, to come together in our struggles, in our weaknesses, in our sin. We come together. We acknowledge, yeah, we're sinners. I'm a sinner. But What's more important is God's grace. It's greater than all our sin. And when we focus on the sin and carry that on day in and day out in our lives and into the new year, when we focus on our sin, we're not looking at God's grace and we're taking our eyes off God. The devil focuses us over here. God says, no, I'm over here. And when we say no to that and yes to God, the devil still might pull some of those things out of his hat and say, oh, you remember the time. And I say, yeah, I do, God, I remember. I remember quite well, but you know something? God took that garbage out a long time ago. You see, God took it out a long time ago. And then all we have to do to really drive him away is to resist the devil and he'll flee. How do we resist him? Grab your Bibles for crying out loud. Start reading your Bible.
Call someone, one of your good friends. Not somebody who's going to tear you down and tell you what you did wrong. Oh, I need to know what I did wrong. Someone who's going to uplift you, you see, and strengthen you and direct you. Paul did all he did for God's glory. And when we focus on the sin in our lives and keep carrying along like baggage, we're not really focusing on God's glory. We're not living our lives for God's glory. We're trying to carry the garbage ourselves, and we're saying, well, God, I got this. I got this. God says, okay, let me know when you're done. Let me know when you crash. Because frankly, folks, I don't got this, and I don't know anybody that does got this. Paul didn't have it. He said, I don't understand, but I understand one thing. I'm a wretched man, and the only hope I have is in the grace of God, who's going to save me from this body of death. I want to read something quickly and I'm done. I could go on all day because this is one subject that really touches my heart is the grace of God. The believer who seeks to live the Christian life through self-effort is like the man who was attempting to sail across the Atlantic Ocean when he found his boat becalmed for days. Finally, frustrated by his lack of progress, he tried to make his stalled boat move by pushing against the mast. Through strenuous effort, he succeeded in making the boat rock back and forth, and so created a few small waves on the otherwise smooth sea. Seeing the waves and feeling the rocking of the boat, he assumed that he was making progress, so he continued his efforts, pushing on the mast, rocking the boat back and forth. And of course, although he exerted himself a great deal, he actually got nowhere. So it is in the Christian life. The source of the Christian strength lies in God's grace, not in exertions of willpower or in efforts of discipline or any other self-effort. I can't say it any better now. Let's pray.